Welcome back to another episode of the BuyAuburn.com podcast, where we spotlight Auburn-owned businesses and members of BuyAuburn.com. We've done several episodes so far, got a lot of great feedback. We got another fun one today with Mr. Don Willis of Antler Boost Deer Feed. So all you hunters out there, perk up, buckle up, pull your chair up, and let's have some fun with this one. Mr. Don, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kyle.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Mr. Don, one thing I do to start this thing off is I make you have to prove your Auburn connection. You have to prove your Auburn fandom. So talk about your connection with Auburn and what makes you an Auburn-owned business.
Well, you'd have to go back. I guess the first person in my family to attend Auburn was my grandfather. Didn't finish, but went back into the family business in Dayville, Alabama. That's where both sides of my family are from. So pretty close to Auburn. I mean, 20 miles away. His brother went, my great uncle didn't finish either, went back in the family business. But, I figured out at one point in my life I had 46 blood and non-blood relatives that went to Auburn. Most graduated. Wow. I don't know if I can count some of them because a chunk of them were first marriage. So in sure. my second and last marriage. And found the love of my life and got four daughters together. And she's an Auburn fan, thank God.
I don't know how people do it when it's divided. Man,
I don't know. My mom and dad are that way. Dad, Alabama fan his whole life. In spite of that, I love him and he still loves me, but I mean, his dad went to Auburn, it's kind of, and all the family, extended family went to Auburn. He's actually a Samford grad. So, and a minister my whole life, pretty much since I was three. He got saved when I was three. And that's a whole nother great story for another episode.
For sure. For sure. So, it runs deep. Bottom line, it runs deep in the family, which it feels like Auburn fans in general, there's going to be some sort of connection like that. And I obviously love to hear those stories. There's also another connection you have. And obviously, there's no secret that I kind of got into this whole realm as a message board guy. That's kind of how I got super into following recruiting, following Auburn with the passion, I guess, that I did, to the chagrin of, my wife and kids, from message boards. I got into it when I was in college, and, it just kind of stuck from there. And obviously you've had a pretty unique history in the Auburn message board realm as well. Talk about that and being one of the OGs of Auburn message board lore.
Yeah. I go back to, I entered Auburn in August of 92 as a freshman. They called them, I think, computer labs is what they called them, but they were really computer rooms that they had at like the library. I don't remember about Haley Center, but I know the library was like, and they had, on multiple floors, and they were just these rooms full of desktop PCs, and that's where you went, and you had internet access. And so at some point, and I forget exactly what year it was, but it was early on, they started popping up. The first one was, I believe, called Orange and Blue, and if I'm remembering correctly, Mark Murphy of Inside the Auburn Tigers magazine, which I guess is now no longer a print thing anymore, I believe he started that one. And I joined, and I, my username was an old honey nickname from I mentioned my dad was a minister, so he went to seminary down in New Orleans. He had a couple churches there, and then the rest of them in Alabama, in various places in East Alabama. I sounded like, evidently, when I was a kid growing up 6 years in Louisiana, in my early years, I sounded like a Cajun. And yeah. So my great grandfather's hunting buddies, them old guys, they all started calling me Cajun. And it just stuck. I you know, it, and then people would call me that would see me. They'd say, "Hey, Cajun," you know, blah, blah, blah. So that's just the one I chose when I went off to Auburn and joined a message board. So I kept that one, and I've kept that one pretty much. There's been some transitions, you know. But when I started, I got really involved with it. And so what you quickly realize back then, this was community, right? So that goes right back to why the internet was started by one of the deadheads from the Grateful Dead community. So I quickly realized the power of community. And I loved it. I mean, just like everybody else that joins, I mean, it's a brotherhood. It's a, you know, it's just a way to be and talk with people about things that you have a common interest in. And so, you know, I got to be really, you know, active and involved. And Mark, I got to know Mark personally. At some point, there was the first, well, Rivals might have been the first network.
Yeah, I think it was.
So that's, and so soon after that, Alliance Sports with a guy named Shannon Terry, who's used to be the infamous Lucky, was his handle on the internet, and he created that network. And a guy named Will Woods, who was an Auburn guy, created the Auburn Alliance Sports site. And so I joined it. At some point and got involved with that and got to know Will personally because he was living in Auburn. His wife, I believe, was going to Auburn at the time. They had kids. And he was running this thing out of the office above his garage off of University. In it's one incredible. Of the curves there, I can't, you know, I go by today and I still have problems finding the dadgum house. But every now and again, I'll catch it and say, oh, kids, that's where this guy started that website. And telling my kids about the history. But so I helped and I got really involved, and that's the bunker, the infamous bunker.
Right.
That was started on Alliance Sports by Will and a guy named JR and some other guys. And anyway, it got really, really popular. And at some point, Inside the Auburn Tigers merged with that Alliance Sports site, if I'm remembering the history correctly. And then Will partnered with Shannon Terry and two guys from Rivals, and they bought Rivals. They all pulled in about $250,000 a piece. They bought it for like $1 million, which gave them the platform and the hardware and all that stuff. And, you know, Rivals was fledgling at the time, and Alliance Sports was doing pretty good. So they took the two best sites off of Alliance Sports, which are Alabama, Auburn, and they took the two best, which I think was a Michigan and Ohio State off Rivals, and that's the guys that partnered to form the Rivals as it's known today.
Wow.
And super successful, you know, I mean, they put $1 million into it. So, I mean, they weren't playing around, you know, and, I don't know how much they bought it for and how much of that million was invested, but it was successful. I mean, freaking, you know,
I mean, look at it. He's done it three times now and
it's yeah. I mean, Shannon, they ended up selling Rivals to Yahoo Sports for $100 million. So they both, I mean, all four partners got like 22 mil a piece or something like that. And yeah, I don't know what the other guys, the Ohio State Michigan partner, whatever those guys did. I know Will went in some things and not related to this, but Shannon, He started 247 Sports once his non-compete with Yahoo Sports was over.
Sold it to CBS.
They sold it to CBS Sports, so he made a blue mint off that. And now he's, you know, waited till his non-compete was over, and he started On Three.
So and then he bought Rivals back.
Oh, yeah, and he bought Rivals back.
It's so crazy. So you're like, you're from the beginning. You're like when message boards really became a thing, you were like one of the first to be a part of it. And it's kind of cool to know that Auburn, the Auburn culture, and message board culture is kind of what helped kick off message boards becoming a thing. And that's kind of what's led to, you know, us and the, what we have over at thebarnauburn.com. If you want to join our community, which I think is more along the lines of what the old school message boards used to be, a lot more about community. We have information and stuff too, but it's about, you know, making friends and, you know, sharing those common interests. Like you said, that's good stuff, man. I love stories like that. Speaking of stories, if you're an Auburn fan, you got to have a favorite Auburn memory. What's your favorite Auburn memory that you're like, man, you know what? This is just core. I'll never forget. I know what I was wearing. I know where I was, or I remember the weather, everything about it. What's your biggest favorite Auburn memory?
I mean, I struggled to get down to one. I'm gonna tell the one that I think people will be most, I guess, interested in. I think the other one's awesome too. I tell people, you know, I came in the twilight of when Auburn was the loveliest little village still.
Sure.
And it was just so much smaller than it is now. I mean, Auburn has just exploded. So I graduated from Benjamin Russell High School in Ellic City, which is right across the river from Dadeville, Tallapoosa County. And we had our quarterback was a friend of mine. I was not a football player. I was 160 pounds and probably ran a 5.440. You know, I was not a fast of foot person. Basketball, believe it or not, was my game growing up. And so I was quick as a cat from me to you, but you know, anyway, football was not my thing, but we were friends, very good friends. And, he signed a guy named Alan Barnett. He signed to play at Auburn. He was a quarterback, really good high school quarterback. You know, there was a big group of us from Ellic City that went to Auburn, you know, and we all did total different, you know, lots of different things, but, you know, there were still friend groups. And I stayed friends with Alan. He would come by occasionally. You know, football took up a lot of his time, but anyway, it rocks on from, you know, we started August 92. And then, you know, of course, we went through the undefeated season of 93, which was awesome. Lots of memories there. But you get to 94, and Patrick Nix is now the quarterback at Auburn. And we're on an undefeated streak, and we go to the Swamp, and we beat Spurrier. That's the first time he'd ever been beaten in the Swamp. And so it was a big deal. They were number one in the country, if I remember correctly. Patrick had a huge game. Terry Bowden's game plan was freaking off the chain. One of the best game plans I've ever seen in my life. And anyway, it was a big win, and we had watched it. You know, Alan didn't travel to that game. I'm almost positive. And if I remember, he was at the house, and we all watched it. Everybody, you know, a bunch of us from Ellic City watched it on the TV. Where I was living at the time in, not Gentilly Trailer Park, but the one across the road.
Ridgewood.
Ridgewood. There.
That's where I lived.
Living in Ridgewood, man, you know, it was just a big deal. And so the game's over and we go to Tumors, of course, roll it. You know, we're all, you know, very, on the sauce, and, we're having a big time, you know. And so, one of the things that happened at that celebration, was got up on the columns, the old columns around Tumors, and a piece of it, broke off. And so, you know, I'm pretty south, and I stick it in my pocket, right? You know, and, I'm gonna, you know, it's gonna be a memorabilia forever. Of course, you know, when you're inebriated, you're not thinking straight. So I ended up returning it the next day and putting it back in place, you know, because I sobered up and I was like, man, that's no good, you know. I got nervous about it.
Hold on, define back up real quick. Define peace. Like, what are we talking about? What
you can fit it in the palm of your hand. It was just, and it wasn't a piece of the eagle or anything. It was just like the very corner of the base of the eagle.
Okay,
like
got just it.
Indescript, you know, piece of concrete that it would meant nothing but to me, you know, right? But the day didn't end there. So by the time the team gets back, we've, you know, of course, sobered up by then, you know, and Alan takes me to the old Sewell Hall.
Right.
And so, you know, it had the balconies facing what Plainsman Park, and, you know, it was where everybody lived. Bo Jackson, Charles, I mean, all the famous, you know, and like,
yeah.
So Pat was living in there because Pat, for whatever reason, was still living in that dorm, probably. You know, what didn't come from a lot of money like me, and probably couldn't afford to live anywhere else, you know?
Right, right.
But anyway, I got to meet Pat Nix right after they got back, and it was amazing listening to his mind about that whole game, him and Alan talking. I'm just sitting there listening, but that became my favorite memory at Auburn, or one of them for sure. And funny enough, when I was graduating undergrad a few years later, and Pat, I think, you know, he went through engineering at some point. So he kind of was taking, you know, maybe not full load, just whatever it took to, you know, stay qualified, you know, and follow the NCAA rules. I mean, he was an excellent, brilliant person. And, but we ended up graduating undergrad at the same time, and we both ended up sitting side by side in the president's. It was the president's award banquet, which every school, I think they still do this. Every school on campus names one student, not necessarily by GPA. He got the athletic department like. Outstanding student or whatever, something like that.
Yeah.
And, but I won it through the School of Forestry where I graduated undergrad. And we ended up sitting side by side. So, you know, I got to meet him again, you know, face to face, you know, it was just kind of cool. That's just a really cool memory. The only other memory
How cool would that be to just be sitting there and listening to, you know, Byron Brown breaking down everything that goes along with whenever they take down Alabama in Tuscaloosa or something. I mean, that's essentially what we're talking about. You're talking about the starting quarterback and you're listening to him go play by play and break down everything about the game. I think that would be people pay for that now. Like you have to pay for that service now to sit there and let them talk about it. It's just those type of things just don't happen. Anymore. Good stuff. So is Patrick Nix your favorite Auburn player, or do you have another favorite Auburn player of all time?
Well, you know, and when you sent me that message, you said all sports, and it's a no-brainer for me. It's a guy named Brent Shaning. Brent Shaning was from Columbus High and pitched at Auburn. He was starting right-hand pitcher, all SEC, All-American, second-round draft pick. Brent later contracted leukemia and unfortunately passed away. That was after his playing career and he's the biggest competitor I've ever met. Okay. He was just, and he just oozed it. I mean, he was real quiet, never talked. His wife, didn't even know that he was a second round draft pick because he married her after baseball was over. He made it to AAA, but he came back to Columbus. He had 1 year of eligibility, NCAA eligibility left. He couldn't come back to, obviously, to baseball to play for Columbus State, but he was such a freaking athlete that he made the tennis team playing, I think, number two for Columbus State.
Wow.
And,
wow.
Yeah, Brent was Just an amazing competitor. And funny enough, the other day, I mean, this is 30 something years later, right? My tire guy, I don't know how I got to talking about, he played college baseball. He played at Columbus State. And that's what got my tire guy, my wholesale guy, buy tires from for all my trucks and stuff. He played at Columbus State and ended up being best friends with Brent. And
Wow.
so, yeah. And his Brent's mom still lives like two doors down from where they live now. But yeah, he told me some of these things about Brent, like his wife, she didn't even know he was a second round draft pick. Didn't even know he was All American at Auburn. You know, all of this stuff, played with Tim Hudson, you know, all of that, you know, she had no idea.
That's
And
wild.
yeah, he's my favorite without a doubt. He was just a competitor of the utmost extreme. And I've never seen anybody like him until Ethan Bingaman. Ethan Bingaman reminds me of Brent Chaney to
I
a
love it.
T. Quiet, ultimate competitor, you know. The moment's never too big. He just has that Brent Chaney quality.
I love it, man. I love stuff like that. We talked about Auburn. Let's talk about your company. Let's talk about Antler Boost, how you got started, and how people can, use it, utilize it.
I've always grown up deer hunting from really young age, and so I was, you know, immersed in it. And, you know, you go to Auburn, you know, I'm still deer hunting a little bit here and there. You know, you get out, you get a real job, a career.
Yeah.
And that was up in Rome, Georgia. Only company I ever worked for out of Auburn. I was in the manufacturing realm. And it's all, you know, I'm a math and science guy. That's my wheelhouse. Not biology, not a biology guy.
Sure.
But physical science, physics, anything that's math related with science, that's just what turns my crank, right? And so
Sure.
I get back out and I start deer hunting again. With friends back home, it was just another excuse to come back from Rome to come home. We hunted around Auburn, Tallapoosa County, you know, all this area. And one of the things that had changed, I say changed, had developed over the years is the nutritional side of growing deer and growing deer, you know. For obviously, people love bigger antlers, you know, that's trophies. That's, you know, even as a kid, that's what you wanted to kill the biggest one, you know, right? So,
Yeah.
but I found that there was a science to it. And the more I dug, just as kind of, I hate to call it a hobby, it's more of a passion. The more I learned, the more that I learned that out there in the industry, the products, there were better products that could be made, could be
Sure.
manufactured. And so, you know, as I'm first getting into it, I'm not even thinking it with that end objective, right? I'm just learning to do it ourselves as we fed the deer on the property and planted different food, for the deer, clovers and soybeans and, you know, all those different things that you can plant for deer. My background really was strong because in forestry you have to take soil science, multiple classes. And so those were a basis to understand how to plant, how to, you know, do all those things better. And then the feed side is nothing but just harvested plants that have been dried down and pelletized into a pellet or whatever form the feed might be in. And I just, you know, I just learning about those and doing them and actually feeding them and, you know, watching the growth and, you know, so collecting data, if you will. So one night I was watching MSNBC, Donnie Deutsch's Big Idea. And it's about entrepreneurs that create businesses, right? So that episode was make your hobby a business. And it just hit me, you know, I could do this as a business. I just needed to find someone to manufacture for me. And so that's what I did. I found about three different animal feed mills. I picked the one that I felt like I could trust. And I was off and running in 2008. So that was January of 2008. By March, we had a product. And the guy helped me develop that first formula. That's where I learned how to formulate animal feed. In this instance, deer feed. And a couple months later, I had my first seed distributorship through a company called Tecumseh Seed, and I had the full array of products. And it's just been a development of all of those over the years. And, you know, I went from, you know, just having people make feed for me, which I still do. I do not own a pelletizer. Those are $6-7 million investments that become your life. And right. I didn't really want to be stuck in, you know, in under the weight of all that. So I just had the pellets manufactured for my first about 10 years or so. And then I started leasing a small facility, making some different, what we call whole grain feeds, which are not pelletized. It's just taking soybeans and peanuts and corn and mixing them together and bagging them as a finished product. And I have some other products that are made, blocks and different things that are made in different places in Kentucky. And so we do some of the manufacturing in-house, some of it's still outsourced, but all of it is based upon my formulas and the science that drives those formulas, and just been continually trying to improve those, never, you know, always looking for the new edge or something that we can do or add to the formula that can increase growth, add more value for the customer. And of course, you know, went from, you know, just strictly LTL shipping, to, you know, flatbed, you know, gooseneck trucks. And now we have our own boxed, you know, vans. And so we've just evolved, you know, every year, and this is, year 19. So
amazing.
been doing it a long time, and you know, we really stress, you know, customer service, and, you know, we work on our customer schedules, which it's recreation for our customers. So, you know, they may call us, they may not have a break till, I talked to a guy from Mississippi for an hour last night, early in the evening, you know, and that's just what I have to do. Because that's, you know, his day ended at, you know, 6 o'clock or whatever. He got supper and then he called me. And,
right.
You know, that's just, you know, weekends, you know, we are flexible on that. You know, deliveries, a lot of times, you know, they're running their businesses Monday through Friday. So right. Saturday's the first chance that they can take delivery. Because a lot of them want it delivered to their property versus, you know, to Birmingham, to their business. You know, their property might be in Selma or whatever. So
talk about how people can get this product. Like, how, if I wanted to have Antler Boost, how do I go about getting it?
If you go to antlerboost.com, my direct number is on there. So you're going to get me any time of day, any day of the week. And if I happen to be tied up, I'm very, very responsive getting back to you. We have stores that sell it. You know, the way the distribution model works in the animal feed world, it's not it's not conducive for specialty deer feed companies like myself. You know, and so we do a lot of direct delivery. And face it, people that are going to spend a lot of money doing this, they don't want to pay retail. You know, and, so we offer that ability. We deliver, from, ourselves on our own trucks. I tell people we go from the Mississippi River, all the way to the Atlantic Ocean. And as far north as Kentucky. But if you're, you know, let's say you've got a place in Missouri or Kansas or wherever, we have figured out how to LTL freight our products, you know, and do it in a cost-effective manner. Some pretty innovative, you know, things on the shipping side of things. A lot of them we've only developed in the last year. So we do have that ability, you know, if you live outside of, you know, the South, if you will.
Sure.
But
so, hey, if you're a big time hunter and you're looking to, you know, be hands on as far as knowing what goes into your deer and what they eat, how to grow them bigger, and you want to work with an Auburn guy, hey, it's pretty cool. You go to the website and you call him. You just give him a call and then he gets you what you need. I don't think you can beat that. That to me, that's even better than just regular old e-commerce. I want to know who I'm talking to, who I'm buying from. It's amazing. So you can call again. It's Antler Boost Deer Feed. You can go to antlerboostfeed.com. Give Mr. Don a call, 706-506-0204, and he'll get you what you need. You just heard it. He said, hey, you can call me at night. It doesn't matter. We're gonna get you taken care of. I love it. I love it, man. I know this is a big passion for a lot of folks that listen to this show, and why not do business? Hey, you can even do business with an Auburn guy when you're hunting, you're managing, you know, your deer on your land. So, Mr. Don, I really appreciate it. Thank you for the stories. I love all of it. And hopefully we get some folks coming your way.
Hey, I appreciate it, Kyle. Thanks for your time and opportunity, and War Damn Eagle.
War Eagle, man. We're out of here. We'll be back again soon with more business spotlights on the BuyAuburn.com podcast.